Thank you for having me. These presentations, I mean, I've looked at the other presenters here, and frankly, you know, there's some absolutely important topics and heavy topics that you're going through. And for those of us who have not gone through what you've gone through, we can't even imagine the issues that you've had to deal with. And what I've noticed, because I would deal with a lot of widows for the most part, you're required to make financial decisions sometimes, well, when you're at least capable of making good decisions. I just noticed that over 30 years of working, managing money for people. And so I know you have questions, and we're going to answer some of these questions today. Are you okay? You can still hear me, right? Okay, good deal. So, but I'll tell you, sometimes I feel like I don't belong. When I, especially at Education Week here, we have all these topics that are, you know, I mean, you know, how to use the atonement in your life, bringing families together. And I'm just talking about money, you know. And so there's so many more important things. And I'm kind of reminded of a time when I was with my young family, and we're at Arlington National Cemetery. And usually, if you've been there before, it's a walking tour. But I had my mother with us that was having some health issues, so they let us drive. And anyway, so I'm driving. I remember taking a left and immediately recognized that there's a funeral going on right there. I shouldn't be there. And I wanted to back up, but then a car pulled in right behind me. And so, you know, like, talk about one of those moments where you kind of, you know, you don't belong, right? And so so I'm waiting to back up. And meanwhile, I had a Marine start marching towards my car. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he comes up, and he raps on the window. And I hesitantly kind of roll it down. I know I'm going to get an earful for being where I was. And he said in his best Marine voice, "May I help you?" And before I could say anything, my little boy Josh in the back seat said, "Yes, I'd like a chocolate ice cream cone." So I'm going to be like Josh today. I'm just going to, you know, we're just going to pretend like we belong and everything's okay. So anyway, when it comes to Social Security planning, knowledge is money. There's millions upon millions of dollars in Social Security benefits that are not claimed every single year, simply because people don't know how the system works. I deal with retirees, and I know retirement people. Over half of America applies for Social Security benefits at age 62, thus ensuring them the lowest possible benefit paid to them for the rest of their lives. You know, and with widows and widowers, survivor benefit, should you take that at 60 or not? I see this a lot of mistakes made. I'm going to go through a couple today and just show you how things can be. Now, I'm going to warn you, though, it's going to be like drinking from a fire hose. Okay, I've got 80 years of Social Security code that I have to consolidate down into 45 minutes or so. Okay, so there's a lot here. Don't expect you're going to remember all of it, exactly how it goes, but if you could at least glean one little idea on how this works or something I need to check into, then I think your time here will be fruitful, okay? So that's what it's about. But before I get into this, I just want to remind you we're going to live a long, long time. You look at this chart, you know, single female, over 40% chance you'll live to 90. And this is for people age 65. And I always hear people say, "Well, I don't want to live that long." And my response is always, "Well, I don't care. That might be this how it goes." I was in my office one day. I promised this to have it, as I said, a couple weeks ago. I have a 74-year-old client in there. I was explaining this chart and saying, you know, you're going to live a long time. You've got to make sure your money lasts as long as you do, da-da-da-da-da. And he's saying, "No, I'm not going to live that long. No, I'm not going to live that long." And then his phone rings. He looks at the phone. He says, "Just a second. I got to take it. It's my mom calling." Okay, so I'm like, he's 74. His mom's 90. You know, 96. And so anyway, and he's convinced he'll never live that long. So anyway, so what you need to know, what you're wondering about, is will Social Security benefits, will Social Security be there for me someday? Especially in an election year, you're hearing all this crazy stuff, you know, the system's going broke and so forth. Let me take a couple minutes and let you know how that is. How much can I expect to receive from Social Security? How do survivor benefits work? That's why you're really here. You want to know how that works. Now, I'll explain that. And how can I maximize my benefits? Okay, by making good decisions, you can actually really increase your Social Security benefits. And Then will Social Security be enough to live on? I'll be addressing that too. So understanding the value of Social Security, there's three things that I want to point out to you. Number one, and Social Security offers income that you can't outlive. Okay, so if you're getting $2,000 today on Social Security and you live for 10 years, you'll receive over $300,000 from the Social Security. Okay, if you live 20 years, $666,000. If you live 30 years, you'll receive way over $1 million from Social Security. So it's not just a little bit of money. Okay, and that's why we have to take some time and really plan this out. These numbers assume a 2.8% cost of living adjustment, because that's been the historical average of Social Security as far as the raises that you give. So, well, let me talk about cost of living adjustments. So if your monthly benefit is $2,000 today with an annual cost of living adjustment at 2.8%, you see in 10 years your $2,000 benefit that's being paid to you today will be worth $2,600. Okay, in 20 years, $3,400, 30 years, $4,400. Basically, they're just following the inflation rate in the country. So there's no way to really, I'm showing 2.8% simply because that historically that's what Social Security's done. But there's years like this year, nobody's getting a raise, right? But there's other years where you'll get a 2%, 3% raise. So that's how it works out. Okay, and then Social Security offers survivor benefits. Now, this slide was kind of designed for my retirees, as you can see. It's a little bit different, but if we have two people that have retired already and one of the spouses passes away, then the other would receive the highest check of the two, okay? And then when I go through this today, I have a lot of examples, usually more geared towards widows, because I was right in my assumption. There's more widows here than widowers, okay? But Social Security is gender neutral, okay? So it goes both ways on these examples. So, yes, sir.
Well, let's say in my situation, my spouse died, I was to get remarried. Is there you have to be married to the present spouse? How long before they?
You know what? I'm gonna not ignore this, but I'm gonna get into it because I'm gonna answer your question in just a minute. Is that okay? So if I don't answer it, call me on at the end. So, okay. So the first question: will Social Security be there for me? Let me back up here. Excuse me. About 20 years, my industry, the financial services industry, started sounding the alarms that Social Security system is going broke. And we pointed out that in 1935, when this whole thing started, there were 40 employees for every person receiving a benefit from Social Security. And now we have about 2 employees for every person that's receiving a benefit. Okay, and so, you know, that is a concern. That is a concern. So how well is this doing? When is it going to be bankrupt, if indeed it is? So here's the Old Age Survivor Disability Trust Fund. That's what that OASDI stands for. Okay, so this is every year Congress gets a report from the Government Accounting Office as far as the health of Social Security. They receive that in case they need to make some adjustments, maybe to FICA tax rates and so forth. But as you can see, at the end of 2014, there's $2.8 trillion set aside for Social Security participants in the trust fund. Here's a 2015, last year's results. Total income from FICA payments, FICA taxes, $920 billion. Total expenditures, $897 billion. And the net increase in assets then last year is $23 billion. Okay, so last year we're doing okay. And so the trust fund balance at the end of the year, $2.8 trillion. Anyway, there's some money there. But the long-term projections aren't nearly as good. And the reason being, well, we just have less and less people paying into the system and more people taking money out as the baby boomers retire. So without reforms, it is true there's... without reforms, nothing has to change. There's payments sufficient to pay all the obligations until the year 2034. Okay, after the year 2034, there will only have 79% of what we need to pay the participants. And so, basically, you know, it's we're going to have a problem in 2034. You know, right now, this with some minor adjustments, we can keep this system solvent for many, many years to come. What happens, though, anytime anybody on either side of the fence, politically speaking, says anything we need to make an adjustment about Social Security, that's kind of like a death knell politically. The truth is we need some statesmen to step up and say, you know, reach across the aisle and get something going, because there has to be some adjustments. And like any financial problem, you know, if we start now, some minor adjustments will keep this going forever. If we wait till 2033, then there's going to be a lot of pain. Okay, and so, and here are the things that could be done. Increase the maximum earnings subject to Social Security tax. So right now it's capped at $118,000. So if somebody makes $150,000, they don't have to pay FICA tax on that last $32,000 or so. Okay, they can just adjust that a little bit. How about raise the normal retirement age? We're all getting older. The whole population is getting older. Maybe retiring at age 62 doesn't make sense for that kid that's 18 years old right now. Maybe 70 would be more appropriate. So there's some, you know, things that could be done. Lower benefits for future retirees. You know, as long as the 20-year-old knows that he's not going to get as much from the system, then it'll give him time to build up something like in a 401k, right? And then reduce the cost of living adjustments. Okay, tie it to something else besides the CPI or the Consumer Price Index. So there, anyway, what I'm saying, and I don't know if there's one right way to do it, maybe a little bit of all of that should be done in order to shore up the system. So the bottom line for you is your benefits are not likely to be affected by Social Security reform. I think you can not worry about Social Security. It's going to be there for you. What I definitely want to put across to you today is I wouldn't make any decisions as far as when to take Social Security based upon any solvency issues. I get people all the time saying, well, I'm going to start my Social Security as soon as I can. I want to get as much out of the system as I can because this is going broke. Bad decision. Don't do that. So don't believe it's going broke. Okay, I don't care what your politician says. I'm getting the reports from the government accounting office. But the system's going to be there. Okay, so don't make decisions based upon it going broke. So, okay, how much can I expect to receive? Now, I'm going to take you through in the next 5 minutes how Social Security works for retirees. And you think, well, I know you're more interested about survivor benefits, but you kind of have to have this foundation as far as how retirement benefits work before I dive into the survivor benefits, okay? So this, you think this doesn't really apply to us. None of you are on the verge of retiring, I see, right, you know, anytime soon. But anyway, you kind of have to understand this to understand the other, okay? So hang on. Okay, your benefit when you retire will be based upon how much you've earned over your working career. Okay, that's the number one thing. Basically, what they do is they take your top 35 years worth of earnings, indexed for inflation, and that's how they figure out how much you're going to get when you retire. The second thing, the age at which you apply for benefits. Okay, so you've heard when your retirees can take Social Security as early as age 62, but is it better to wait? You know, let's get into that. So how the benefits are calculated, again, the top 35 years, and Social Security has a formula which they use to come up with your PIA. That stands for primary insurance amount. So if you can remember PIA, I'm going to refer to it a lot in the next 10 minutes, okay? Primary insurance amount, that's taking your 35 years, going through their formula to come up with that number. And if you wait until your full retirement age, that's the next thing we're going to talk about, then you'll get 100% of your PIA, or this calculation, okay? So what is full retirement age? You can look right here what your full retirement age is, okay? It's going to be someplace between 66 and 67, depending on the year of your birth. Okay, so when I talk about full retirement age, now you all know what your full retirement age is, right? Okay. Okay, now, a couple things about Social Security that I want to point out to you. There's an annual earnings test. So if you take Social Security benefits before your full retirement age, 66, 67, whatever that works out to be, if you make too much money, if you make more than $15,720 in 2016, then $1 in benefits will be withheld from you the following year for every $2 that you make. Okay, and so that's a consideration. if you're still working, for heaven's sakes, don't start Social Security at age 62. They're just going to take a bunch of it back from you anyway the next year, and you lock yourself into these lower payments. Okay, so be aware of that. After age 66, 67, whatever your full retirement age is, this whole earnings test thing goes away. So you can make $100,000 a year after your full retirement age, and it won't impact your Social Security payments at all. Okay? So bottom line is, don't take Social Security if you're still working and making over $15,000 a year. This is the best way to solve this problem. Okay, now, as far as retirement goes, what happens if you decide you want to start Social Security at age 62? What they do is they say, well, okay, if your full retirement age in this on this slide is 66, and you start at 62, they're just going to give you less than 100% of your PIA, or that primary insurance amount. Okay, so you start at age 62, you see you're only going to get 75% of your personal PIA, 63, 80%, and so forth. Okay, so that's how it works. Okay, then the next question is, so what happens if you wait until after your full retirement year to get Social Security? Okay, again, at age 66, we know you'll get 100% of your personal insurance amount. At age 67, basically, this number grows by 8% per year every year that you wait. At age 70, that you don't get any more credits for holding off, and so don't wait past age 70 for sure, okay? But if you wait till 67, 68, you know, if you have a long life expectancy, that this might be a real smart thing to do. Okay, so wait past your full retirement age to receive Social Security. And if you don't, and the question was, what if you don't have a long life expectancy? Then I'd say, well, that is a factor when deciding when to take Social Security. Maybe it is best to take it at 62, kind of depending on your situation. Okay. Okay, so the point is here. So this is assuming a PIA of 2,788 per month. You see, here's our full retirement age right here, 66. There's that number. So if you take it earlier, again, you're going to get a smaller number. If you take it later, you're going to get a larger number. That's how it works out. Now I would add that these numbers here. So let's say if you wait till age 70 to take this, there's a cost of living adjustment. You think about it. If you're getting a 2.8% increase per year on the average, it's better to receive that on a larger number than a smaller number, right? And so here's how it works out. The reason we delay, and again, this isn't for everybody. It depends on your health and your situation and so forth. But the reason you delay, if you claim at age 62, I just want to show you you know, your monthly payment at age 90 would be $4,400. If you wait till 70, monthly payment would be $7,700. See, and that a lot of that has to do with this whole cost of living adjustment thing. So it's just it enhances your benefit if you wait. Okay, so it's easy. We all the time in my office we're looking up with people's Social Security benefits, what they'll be, what their PIA is, right? It takes us probably a minute to log on. It's a great website Social Security Administration has. It doesn't take long to log on. Just go on and it'll say calculate my, you know, estimate my retirement benefits. And it's just, anyway, this takes a second. It would be a great exercise. They used to send out, you know, annually the statements. If you notice that you haven't got them lately, what they did, it's in a cost-cutting effort. And I should say $70 million a year they're saving by not sending those out every single year. Okay, so I'm all for that. We can log on if we need to and see what we have. So they quit sending them out. This last year they started sending them out again, but they only send them out every fifth year. So when you're 55, 60, 65, you'll get these notices. Okay. Okay, so we've gone through the retirement thing. Now let's talk more, I think, about things that you need to know about. But it was important to understand FRA, PIA, you know, these kind of things in order to go to the next step. I'm sorry, what time does this meeting get out? Is it 5:30? Okay, so how do survivor benefits work? Okay, first of all, let's define who the survivors are, should we? Dependent children, okay, till age 18, 19 if they're still in high school, Okay, if you have a disabled child, the rules are a little bit different also. Mothers of dependent children. Okay, and so you will get some kind of a benefit also until your child's 16. And then this particular benefit goes away. Okay, and then also, of course, spouses of deceased participants in the plan, people who have put enough quarters in. You have to work 10 years in order to be in order to qualify your survivors for benefits. Okay, so spouses at age 60, okay, 50 if disabled. Okay, now your survivor benefit is based upon or will depend on your deceased spouse's PIA. Okay, so how many years, how much money do they put into the system? Okay, it will also depend upon the age at which the widow claims the survivor benefit. As I just mentioned, you can start it as early as 60. Some of you should, some of you shouldn't. Okay, and I'm going to go through that. Okay, and I'm just going to quickly skip over this one because I don't have any retired people in this room. But
how do you know that? Yeah.
I can tell. I don't like to see any retired. I'm sorry. What? No. Okay. Should I embarrass you and ask you how many people that have started Social Security that are over 62, based upon your own? Okay. 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 So, well, here I'll back up. I'll tell you. I understand that. But you have to understand, too, I'm getting close to that age, so I don't have my glasses on. I can't really tell who's after about the third row. Okay. Here's the last one I skipped over. The age at which the deceased spouse originally claimed a benefit. That's a determinant also. Okay. So if your spouse had already started getting a retirement benefit, then that will be a determinant on how much you'll get when you start. Okay? Is that better? Okay. So here's the rules for survivor benefits. The couple must have been married at least 9 months at the date of death, except in the case of an accident. Okay? Survivor must be at least 60 for a reduced benefit. So you can start as early as 60. We'll talk about that. The survivor benefit's not available if the widow remarries before age 60. I'm going to get into more detail with that one, okay? And you could actually have divorced spouse survivor benefits available if the marriage lasts at least 10 years. So if you're divorced from somebody you're married to for 10 years and they pass away, there's actually benefits available. So I had a lady that I was working with, and she's divorced, and I explained all this stuff to her about this divorced spouse benefit, and she said, you know, Scott, you really messed me up. I'm like, what do you mean I messed you up? I mean, I just figured showed you a way where you could get more money. She said, yeah, but how in the world am I going to keep a straight face at my ex's funeral knowing this just because he died I can start getting 2,000 more a month? So anyway. Okay, claiming eight. Now, this is important. So I mentioned you can get benefits as a survivor, as a widow, as early as age 60. But should you? So if you start at age 60, you're going to get only 71.5% of the deceased spouse's primary insurance amount, PIA. Okay? So you'll take a reduced benefit. See, if you wait till age 66, you'll get the full amount. And I'm going to use the same slide again, just as a reminder, the annual earnings test still applies. So if you're 61, 62, you have a job that you're still making more than $15,000 a year, it doesn't make any sense to apply for a spousal benefit where they're just going to take a lot of the money back anyway, and then you've locked yourself into lower payments for the rest of your life. You know, so don't do that, okay? Okay, so here's the question. So what happens to my survivor benefits if I remarry? Okay, and this is really kind of complicated. This is where I really wish I had my notes. I'd just read it to you, but I'll do my very best here. So if you remarry prior to age 60, okay, you will not be eligible for these survivor benefits unless the remarriage ends. Okay, so if you marry at age 59, you won't get the benefits that we just talked about unless, you know, your new spouse passes away or there's a divorce, and then you'd be eligible for the survivor benefits that we just talked about. What happens if you remarry after age 60? Okay, then you get to keep it. Now you get to keep it, or you could take your spousal benefit based upon your current husband's earnings. Okay, but almost always it's better to take the survivor benefit because you can get up to 100% there. Spousal benefits are going to knock off at 50% of your new spouse's PIA. Okay, so anyway, something to think about if you're 59 and dating somebody and it's looking like this might go someplace. Well, yeah. So take a good look at that. But at least I'm saying, you know exactly what the rules are if that's the case. So,
question: but in order for a new spouse, on my case, they'd have to be married to me for 10 years.
No. This to 9 months, I believe, to collect it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that I think that I'll double check that, but I think it's 9 months.
There was another thing that said 10 years.
10 years is for divorced. If there's a divorce, they have to be married to you for 10 years before they qualify for a divorce spouse survivor benefit. Yes.
I have a girlfriend who is in that situation. They were married for 20 years, divorced for a long time. Really, when they married, he passed away, and she lives in California. She ended up getting his survivor benefits on top of her Social Security, in addition to. And I told her to be careful because I don't think that's correct, and I don't think Social Security will eventually.
I think you're right.
And I said, you know, don't go spending that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you can do that. Yes, ma'am. No, you can swap back and forth, okay. But my question is, you probably won't want to be taking a survivor benefit at age 60 if you're still working.
I'm not working
okay.
right now.
Okay.
So if I'm not working right now, but then I waited and at 62 it actually was a little higher for me to take the other, then I could switch over to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. So actually, I'm going to run through two examples, and I think I might be answering your question. Okay, and this. Okay. So how can I maximize benefits? Okay, so I think this is exactly what you're thinking about. So you are entitled to receive Social Security benefits based upon your own work history or your survivor benefit, okay? And you need to develop a plan to maximize your benefits, your overall benefits of Social Security. So let me give you so there is a time when you don't take survivor benefits at age 60. Let me explain when that is. Number one, if you're still working, okay, if you're still making at least $15,720, don't take a survivor benefit. Number two, if your own personal PIA will never exceed your survivor benefit amount. So you get on the website and say, you know, I've got a good job myself. I don't know if I should take this or not. You know, but if your own PIA exceeds the survivor benefit, then probably not best not to take it at age 60. Okay. I'm going to give you an example, and this example is I was trying to figure out how to go through this example. Finally, I thought, okay, I told Sarah, this is my mom we're talking about. My mom's deceased, so I'm sure she's not going to have any problem with me sharing this information. Her number's with you. I'll find out tonight when I'm asleep, right? So, okay, but Mary Lou. So when my dad passed away about 25 years ago. When it went down to the Social Security office, his survivor benefit was $2,200. And I didn't know anything about Social Security at the time. If I did, I wouldn't have let this happen, okay? But we go to the Social Security office, and, you know, she had life insurance proceeds, she had a pension, she had other money. She was actually working. We didn't have to start Social Security at age 60. And in retrospect, she should not have done that. But we started at age 60, and I should say she quit immediately afterwards, but started at age 60, again, survivor benefits, $2,200, but she only got 71% of it because she's taken at age 60. Therefore, her monthly benefit turned into $1,573. Okay, what she should have done, okay, is this. Okay, so option B, Mary Lou's personal insurance amount, this from her own work history. She is a high school teacher. It was $900, but again, because we're starting at age 62, not 60, but 62, she's eligible for her own Social Security benefit, right? Okay, so it started at age 62, but even so, she could only get, you know, 75% of her own benefit. And so what she should have done is from age 62 to 66, she should have taken that reduced benefit based upon her own history, which would have been $675 a month. And then at age 66, when she's eligible for the full retirement benefit, full survivor benefit, she should have switched over to that. Okay, so to answer your question, we can, you know, switch back and forth. Yeah. Okay. Now there was a rule change lately, okay, where it limited the switching back and forth for retirees. It had nothing to do with survivor benefits. Okay. That's what the rule changed. Yes.
So then, if you took it at 65 and your full retirement benefit is at 66, you could switch to the 66.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Let me clarify. If you take your own benefit until 65.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
So
yeah.
But then she switches to her own
right.
At 66 and then she gets 2200.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay. So this benefit right here, this is mom's benefit based upon her work history. Has nothing to do with my dad, no survivor benefit. So we're saying, you know, from 62 to 66, she should have taken that. Okay, and then wait until age 66, then she could have switched over to this. Okay? I have the survivor benefits in blue, kind of color-coded here. So here we started survivor benefits at age 60, but you know what? Here she didn't really even need the money, really, then. I wish she would have waited until 66. The problem you run into please understand, I'm not being disparaging of the Social Security office. They're not financial advisors. So when you go in there, they say, well, Mary Lou, you can take either this number here or 1500. Which one do you want to take? Well, obviously it's going to be the 1500, but when you take a look at it long term, this was not the best thing to do. And so here's how it worked out long term. At age 90, she would have received $912,000 in benefits. Okay. And if we would have done it this way, $1,140,000, you know, so $228,000 difference just by thinking through this just a little bit. But you're not going to get this kind of, they don't think through this with you at the Social Security office. I promise. This is something you kind of have to figure out before that. Okay, so, yes, please.
Does railroad retirement work the same way? Are you familiar with railroad?
I'm not familiar with it, but yeah, if there's railroad retirement, you're familiar with your Social Security is going to work different too, right? I'm sorry.
So. How does that work with disability? If you're doing a disability and then you don't get that,
you know what? I'll answer that after the class, okay? Because it doesn't apply to most people, and I'd gladly go through that with you. Okay. That's all right. So, but now there is definitely a time when you should start at age 60, okay? And let me explain when that is, okay? If you're done working, if you're not working anymore, or you're making less than $15,000. $720, and if your own personal PIA is larger than what your survivor benefit will be, so you have a career of your own. You know, some of you do, and your own benefit might be larger than the survivor benefit. Let me explain. This is another thing, and here I give these examples on what people should have done because I honestly usually discover after the fact what they did. I had this gentleman, call him Gary. That's not his real name, but I don't want to give you details with, and give him his name also. But Gary at age 62. His wife, Patty, died at age 60. Okay, she's an administrator down at the hospital, and Gary worked in the manufacturing sector of our economy, and his personal, his own personal insurance amount, his PIA, $2,200, he had that, but also a survivor benefit. I mean, Patty had a pretty good career, well-paying job, and so let me tell you what happened. Here's what he did. Again, I'm going to show you what he should have done. So Gary retired at age 62. He didn't even know about the survivorship or how it worked out, and all of his buddies that he golfed with said, you know, you really need to go down to the Social Security office and file for your own benefit as soon as you possibly can. You know, get as much out of the system as you can because it's going bankrupt. Okay, that's what he's hearing. So he doesn't talk to his financial advisor about this, I can tell you that. So he goes down and applies for his own benefit. So remember, he receives a much reduced benefit at age 62. He only receives 75% of his PIA at 62. So basically, he gets $1,650 for life. And again, these numbers do not reflect the cost of living adjustments, which would change things. Okay, but look at this. What he should have done: Gary could have taken a reduced survivor benefit from ages 62 to 70. And then changed to his own enhanced benefit at age 70. So I got these colors flip flopped. Okay, so this should have been the blue over here, a survivor benefit. Okay, so he should have taken that. So start at age 60. So only he only receives, you know, he would have only received a portion, what, 0.71 of that, and then he could have flip flopped over to his regular benefit. At age 70, therefore, he's letting, remember, his survivor, I mean, his own benefit, letting that grow by 8% per year. Yeah, he could have done that. Now, in his case, this is a big mistake, and it's really hard to unwind these, or if not impossible, once you're into them a couple years with Social Security. But cumulative benefit from what he did, if he lives to age 90, $843,000 versus $1,103,000. So $260,000 difference almost by doing it. So I'm bringing this up not to try to explain to you exactly how it works, but I'm bringing this up just so you say, hey, there's an issue here. We need to investigate. Okay, please.
I don't mean to be complicated, but okay, so Gary's still working, right?
No, he quit. He quit.
He
yeah.
Quit, so he's not working at all.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So. Okay. So, I'm sure you have other questions, but this anyway, I want to move on. All right. So. Okay, important with Social Security to coordinate your Social Security with your overall retirement income plan. Okay, Social Security is just part of your retirement. You're going to have investments, life insurance proceeds, maybe rental income. I don't, you know, everybody's going to have their different things, but you need to coordinate that with your other stuff. Your investment portfolio, again, with your work. You know, make sure you're not applying for Social Security where you're going to be subjecting yourself to the annual earnings test. Okay. And other factors to consider. This lady on the front row has just talked about, what about my health? I don't think I'm going to be here at age 70. Well, certainly, then you bet. Then that means you better be taking it earlier than later. Okay. So when to apply for Social Security? Key points to remember: if you apply early, your benefit starts lower and stays lower for life. Okay, that's if survivorship or retirement, but the nice thing about survivorship, mixing the two, you can swap between the two, okay? And so, but, you know, and I've told a lot of my clients, sometimes they say, well, I think I'm think about starting Social Security early. I want to get my house paid off, or I got this debt, and that would really help me out. You know, I'm their investment guy. And sometimes I say, you know, if that's all it's about, why don't we take some money out of your investments, pay off the house early, and let this continue to accrue? You know, so that's something to think about. Okay. The other thing, I've said this before, but your cost of living adjustments magnify the impact of early or delayed claiming. Okay, so you have to think about that. They will become a bigger and bigger part of your life the older you get. So. Okay, then last question to answer: Social Security, will it be enough to live on during retirement? Yeah, no, it's not. Okay. In fact, right now, Social Security represents about 40% of retirees' income across America. Okay, so it's not going to take care of you. Therefore, working, contributing to a 401k, preserving any investments that you might have, or adding to those investments are going to be really important. So, okay, and again, I mentioned this already, what Social Security personnel can and can't do. Think about it. They have almost 100 million people in America that they're trying to take care of. These people are overwhelmed, and they're not going to have the time, nor do they have the expertise or the software, whatever it is, to sit down and work out a Social Security maximization plan in your own situation. You just can't do it. And just like my mom's case, you know, they gave her the best advice based upon what they could see right there, but they didn't take a look at the whole picture. So you need to find somebody that can do that can help you with management of Social Security. And I would say this is not an easy thing to do. Every one of our industries, so I work with CPAs, I work with attorneys, financial advisors. Nobody really wants to touch this. I mean, how is an attorney going to get paid to advise on Social Security? It's just not a lucrative market. And so it's not easy to find somebody that knows what's going on. The reason we know is because you think about, I work with retirees, you know, people that accumulate money all their lives. They finally retire, and they have this lump sum of money. Well, my job is to make sure their money lasts as long as they do. And the very first step is taking a look at what I call mailbox money, okay, the money that comes in every single month, like Social Security, pensions, these kind of things. The first thing I do is I look at that really closely, try to figure out ways to maximize that, and so there's less of a strain on their investments. Okay, and so it's just kind of part of what we do. That's why I know about Social Security. Okay. And again, the good people at Social Security office, they just can't do these projections for you. So, okay, so we've covered a lot of ground today. I hope you picked up one little thing that might be helpful to you. But, you know, when should I apply for Social Security? What if I want to keep working? You know, that earnings test will come into play. What if I've already applied? How much will my benefits be? What's the best long-term strategy for your own situation? And what do I do next? You know, how do I get answers to this? So I'm going to back up. As far as the getting answers to this, let me tell you, I've got, seven people on my staff. They're all very competent. We have the software, and we have all the programs we need. It takes us 10 minutes to figure out maximization strategies. I'm not selling anything. We're not going to charge you anything. Okay, you can call my office or you email us, and this kind of with what you got going on, we can run those strategies for you. Okay, because I honestly say you need to find somebody good, but I don't know who to refer you to. I mean, this is kind of what this is what we do. And again, this is not something I'm charging for. I'm not trying to solicit your business. It's just that it takes us 10 minutes to give you some information that otherwise I don't know where else you're going to get it. Okay, so feel free to email us if you're interested in figuring out how that works. So, okay, I want to talk just a second about Medicare. Okay. What is Medicare? It's a national health insurance program for people over age 65. Okay, it's administered by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS. And the enrollment is done through Social Security. Why am I bringing all this into it right now, too? Well, you know, you might have looked at some of these charts today and figured out that, you know, I think I'll wait till 68, wait till 70. That's okay. You can do that. But that does not exempt you from the requirement to apply for Medicare at age 65. Okay, now there are a couple exceptions to the rule. Here are three key points to understand. If you do not enroll in Medicare on time, you'll pay a monthly penalty. And you'll pay a monthly penalty for the rest of your life. Okay, so you have to enroll on time. At age 65 is the on time. Okay, so I'd suggest even a couple months before you turn 65. Go down to the Social Security office, or I think you could just do it online too. Just enroll for Medicare. Okay. Now, there's an exception to every rule, and here's the exception. You need to enroll at age 65 unless you are covered by an employer group that covers 20 or more employees. Okay, so otherwise you must enroll in Medicare. So if you're working, you work for Boeing or whatever the case is, you know, part of a big group, and you're working past 65, you don't have to actually enroll in Medicare until you retire from your company. Does that help?
So you can put it off till you retire.
Yep, put it off till you retire. As long as you're part of a employer group that covers more than 20 people,
right.
Put it off. Yep. Okay, so that's the exception to the rule.
So you basically have to take on Part B when you're retired.
Yeah, so, well, here, let me go to the next slide. I think we're going to talk, let me talk about this. If I don't answer your question, I'll circle back with you, okay?
So, I'm at that point.
Okay, so if you do not get the right private insurance to go with Medicare, you will pay too much in premiums or out-of-pocket costs. So you've heard of Medicare supplements. Medicare doesn't cover everything, okay? And so you need a supplement to go along with that. And so shop wisely. You know, one thing I've noticed that I didn't realize before anyway. Medicare supplements, you can get online and put in the drugs that you take if you have prescription medication. And go right to the Social Security website, and they can analyze the drugs that you take, and they'll actually recommend a company that best fits your situation. So if you're taking a lot of medications already, you know, that would be a consideration as far as what Medicare supplement to get. Okay, now, I'm not a Medicare supplement specialist, okay? I've got to tell you that right now. I'm an investment guy. But, you know, there are people out there that specialize in Medicare supplements and how to, you know, put all this stuff together. But I just wanted to kind of give you the basic rules. But you do need a Medicare supplement, and they range in price. You know, I usually don't like the government getting involved with anything, but they've done a good thing here. They out that you have the same coverages, universal coverages in Plan I, or, you know, all these different plans that they have. Now, this means that it enables you to compare apples with apples. Okay, Plan H, one company is the same coverage as Plan H at another company. Okay. And so that's very helpful to you. Okay, point three. If you do not plan for higher health care costs in retirement, you could run out of money or not be able to get the care that you need. Okay, and that's true. So we always talk about inflation. We have about a 3% inflation rate historically in our country. The inflation rate for medical type things is about twice the inflation rate of the normal inflation rate. Okay. So this at a 3% inflation rate, your $1 of purchasing power today will have only 41 cents of purchasing power in 30 years. Okay, that's this regular inflation rate. Now consider if all of a sudden, now we're talking about medicine, it's a game changer. You know, so the point is that's going to cost you a lot of money. Save your money. Okay, I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Okay, so anyway, Social Security, Medicare planning, is this too important for guesswork? I would suggest before you apply for any of this stuff, especially Social Security, have a plan before you hop online or go down to the Social Security office. Know what you're going to do before you get to that point. Don't say, oh, I'm just going to go down there and talk about it, because you know what? They're not, again, they're going to give you the highest number you should go to today, which maybe not is maybe not in your best interest, okay? So if you have any questions, you can simply just email us, and again, we're not selling anything, I can promise you that. And so why would I be wearing a suit? Well, maybe next time I won't wear a suit, but anyway. Yeah, just email us with any questions you have. If you want us to do a real quick analysis, we might email you back and say, okay, we need the following information, then we can figure out something if you're interested. Okay. Yes, please.
I already have survivor's benefits. The last time I went to Social Security, I think mine was just a little bit higher. Is it best for me to wait as long as I can?
Yeah. So if I were here, I'm going to embarrass you. What's your age?
I'm 62. No problem.
Okay.
I'm
66. If I were you, I would just keep going with what you got going. At age 70 or before age 70, find out if your benefit has superseded the survivor benefit, because remember it grows by 8% per year, right? And then if it's bigger, then switch at that time. But wait till 70 to do it. And so, yes, yes.
I was told that because I was a stay-at-home mom for 35 years, that survivor benefits don't allow me to get Medicare. Is that true? That I have to have my own work history?
No. You are eligible for Medicare. Okay. Fire whoever that was. Okay. Okay, I've heard it before. Anyway, yes, sir.
My question is, I hit 66, and I qualified for Social Security, so I started that drawing in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm eligible to draw a civil service retirement.
Okay.
How much will they reduce that Social Security when I start taking that?
Yeah. It depends on how long you work, how much you contributed to the system. So
how long I worked what?
Yeah, with the how long you contributed to this, to Social Security. So the bottom line is I can't answer that without digging into the numbers of how much you put to each side. And so this is one you might have to go in Social Security office. And
through my present job, I don't pay Social Security.
Right, but you did sometime
through
during your life.
Things.
Okay, yeah. So I'm sorry, I can't answer that without getting those details, and so, and even then, it would be hard to answer. Actually, if you want to know the truth, so yes, sir.
Teachers benefit. Some teachers I've talked to some. They have a benefit system that's separate to Social Security, mm-hmm. and they don't get Social Security.
Right. So school districts, counties, they can exempt themselves from Social Security. They'll have a different system. Okay.
But if they marry somebody who they could become a spouse of.
Yeah, there's. Yeah, so you know what I would do with that? I'm not going to try to explain this today. There's something called a windfall elimination. Anyway, you can go on the Social Security website. That's what I do. I hop on there, take a look. Windfall elimination. I'm sorry, I can't. I don't have my notes. I would have had it here.
Just
but
give me a short answer. Yes or no, they still never.
I don't know about never, but it definitely impacts it. So I'm not going to make that statement today. Okay, so. Okay. Yes, sir.
One other question. Death benefits, $250.
Okay. Yeah, don't spend it all in one place.
Why? So. Individual. I work 40 quarters to qualify.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Question.
It does.
I went in there. My late spouse only worked 35 quarters.
Okay.
So she didn't qualify.
I'm sorry. This is, so, yeah, all right. So, any other questions? Or I'll stay after if those some of you just want to leave. That's fine, too. But, yeah, yes?
Well, what if, like, something's not showing up on there? You know, that, like, it's gone into the system, and it's gone into the IRS and everything, but it's not showing up.
So, I'd take your statements and I go down to this local Social Security office and show them, hey, here's my my statement of earnings from you guys. Here's my earnings. What's going on here? You know, let's get this sorted out.
Just show them the tax.
Yeah, I'd be prepared. Yeah, show them. Yeah.
Years ago, when I was in the state of Maine, when I was working, I paid into a retirement system. I tried to contact them. They said I never did, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a lot, but it was some, and, you know, that was 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any way to go back and find that? They can't find it. We had the same problem with my husband when he was working for a television station, and it was a Teamsters union, and they struck, and he didn't.
So, again, that doesn't have anything to do, neither one of those have anything to do with Social Security, but obviously if you have any receipts, your pay, you know, whatever, you know, your statements from your work, I'd take that back and try. Sorry, there's a question in the back, too.
Oh, this is a quick example. Okay, you know how hard it is to get Medicare all set up? It takes, how long, 3 months to get it all arranged? And so then you decide that you're going to go on a mission, and the church is going to, you're going foreign, and
okay.
The church is going to pay for your insurance. So I'm getting this... Well, you can drop your Medicare B while you're on the church's insurance and then come back and reinstate it. And I'm thinking, you know, that's really risky. Would you advise that it's better just to leave everything in place rather than...
I would. Yeah, I would.
That's what I wanted to know.
So, you know, you're gonna, it costs what...
Because then if you came home early and you don't have it, what do you do?
Is the church making you do it?
Well, no.
Then you have a second insurance or third insurance.
Yeah.
And you can go.
Well, they're making me pay out their insurance because.
Well, I know, but insurance.
So.
No.
Okay. So thank you. I'll stay here after. I don't want to keep the rest of you here. If you know, if you got the information you need, but thank you.